Johnny got a toy golf set when he was three, and from that day on, he was hooked. All he wanted to do was golf, golf, golf. He'd be on the links before school, after school. All he ever wanted was to go pro. And then, one day, when he was holding his grandson and thinking about his 12 handicap, Johnny realized it just might not happen for him. But you know what did happen for him? He switched to Geico and saved a bunch of money on car insurance. So that was good, and so was hanging out with his grandson.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome out to Botched Roll. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, it has been a while since we've had a chance to do one of these, all the way back in January, and like I said, I have recorded a bunch of them, but I honestly deleted them just before recording this one, because I simply didn't like where they were coming from, and that actually kind of ties into today's topic, what we're actually going to be talking about. Now, this isn't per se an adventure in role-playing, but sort of kind of my history with the hobby over the years, and how it's kind of saved my life, so to speak. I mean, I make it no secret that I suffer from depression, I'm bipolar, and whatnot, and I wasn't diagnosed until a couple of years.
Geico presents, yikes, another voicemail from your roommate.
Sup, roomie? Hey, a pipe burst in the basement. It's completely flooded. Anyway, I called for someone to fix it, but in the meantime, I was thinking we could finally have that indoor pool party we've always wanted. I got some cool swan floaty things already going. Could you pick up some chips on your way home? Later.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected. Like if your roommate isn't the brightest pool float in the flooded basement. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.
Years ago, but I've always had depressive symptoms over the years, but I wasn't officially diagnosed till I think like 4 years ago, give or take. But I look back on some of the friendships I've had over the years and just who I've role played with and kind of what was going on in my life at that time, realizing that's kind of the rock that kind of kept me stable for so many years. And so I've always been a big proponent of mental health. I mean, if you have a problem, do not be afraid to seek help. Do not be afraid to talk to your medical professional, your mental health care worker, or if you happen to be in school, don't be afraid to talk to your school guidance counselor or whoever. They can help point you into the direction of the resources you need. And one of the reasons I want to do this, other than just sort of my personal reflections, is I've just seen a lot of really, really, really sad news in the last little bit. More specifically, kind of what jolted the idea to talk about this and mental health was there's a community in Northern Ontario called Attawapiskat, which is a native reservation really, really far north. And they've had a rash of suicides recently. And that kind of makes me think about the brushes I've had with suicide with myself in the past and how fortunately I've been able to avoid it. And I've had an incredibly good support network, especially over the last couple of years, from my wife Blair to the little kitten Dr. Wiley, who is, I'm not ashamed to say it, he literally is my best friend. I'll have entire conversations with him because most of my friends from college and likewise, they're just far away. And you can say, yeah, there's Skype, there's email, there's Facebook, but it's not the same as being able to live with them or to hang out, wait like an hour and they show up. It's just not the same thing. So I look back and think there have been so many times in my life where things could have very easily gone in the complete opposite direction. So where do I even begin to start with this? I mean, typically a lot of people would think this out, but I kind of just want to fire from the hip with this because I think that's sort of how I do things best when I just sort of just go, just talk, just tell a story, just entertain the people, if you will. And there was a girl I was talking to last night on Twitter, her name's Lexi, who kind of sort of jolted the idea to get back on the microphone for this. And she said to me, Sundays are the best for Sunday night series. And that's where people have the week off, or they've just come off their weekend. They're just kind of sitting around and they just want something to listen to. And I remember listening to great radio myself on Sunday night, stuff on CBC, or I'd listen to Coast AM, stuff like that. Just people just talking, having that soothing voice kind of guide you through whatever you're going through, be it a long drive, a shift, or whatever. So where do I begin with this? And I guess I could kind of go back to the beginning. I mean, I remember the first time I really kind of associated role-playing with kind of being really, really, really happy and kind of avoiding a big depression was probably way back in high school. My friend Ryan, although unfortunately we're no longer friends anymore, but that's a story for a different day, but whatever. During high school, it's probably not hard to imagine to say that I was probably teased and bullied, but being a bigger guy, I'm like, okay, you know what? I can fight back. But it wasn't so much the physical fights I got into. It was more like the emotional wear down. Sort of just like, I don't know whether I was actually going to find a partner at that time, like a girlfriend or anything. Because it had been years since I really dated. And the girl I dated in high school, Michelle, we dated on and off. And it was never anything super serious. It wasn't until I met a girl named Ashley in my grade 11 or 12 year that things started to turn around for me. But my grades 9 to 11, for the vast part, were really depressive as hell. And a lot of my friends, like Ryan, my friend Brad, Thorsten, and John, we'd always sit around playing role-playing games. And it's at that time in your life when you really get a chance to just sit down and kind of exit your skin and sort of kind of get into this epic fantasy, and be it Dungeons and Dragons, Star Wars, Vampire, whatever, it just kind of allows you to have that coping mechanism where you and your friends can just sort of leave the world behind for a little while. And I guess it's no different than when you think, say, a video game hopping on Xbox Live, but I always see this as a more social experience because you're sitting around a table with a bunch of your friends. And it's a very warm, welcoming environment 9 times out of 10 when you do this. And for myself, that's kind of what I needed because at home, it's my parents were not really there, so to speak. It's not like they beat the shit out of me or anything, no. It's just, I was very much just a piece of furniture, just a roommate who happened to be younger and depended on them for stuff. I'm sure they loved me. But let's just say we were not exactly the Brady Bunch. And I felt alone a lot of times. And it was going to school every day that I really felt happy to go with my friends. And every lunch hour, we'd go play something. I actually failed grade 10 history the first time around because I kept skipping class to go play D&D. And when I took the class again, I kicked its ass. And I don't know, like, I kind of wonder where things could have went with that. And then, like, to kind of switch back to what I was talking about before, my friend Ryan, he got his, like, driver's license, and he had a job at, like, a pizza place. So 9 times out of 10, I'd have him swing by, pick me up, I'd hang out at his work. And afterwards, we'd go grab some food. We'd, like, drive to, like, this park and just kind of sit down and just roll dice. I remember we invented entire role-playing systems. We invented a Pokemon RPG long before we did one on Terrible Warriors, like, 15 years before. We did ones for Transformers. We did stuff for just the right time at the right place. And it was just enough so that I had a friend that I considered, like, a brother. And it's just, it kept me just enough above water, because I remember thinking, when I would be in my darkest, most intimate moments during those years, that, you know what, things don't turn around by the time I'm 18, it's time to hit the light switch, so to speak. And it wasn't exactly a really, really, really good time. But all throughout high school, I would have friends. And like I said, we'd constantly do stuff at lunch. I remember sitting around with my friends Mark, my friend Chessel, that's his last name, and a few others. And we just play Star Trek after school. We'd like order pizza and just goof around on like a Friday night. And we'd have a friggin' blast doing that. And like I said, for those few hours, the problems would eventually kind of go away for a while. And I made some friendships I still have to this very day, though I haven't seen a lot of these guys in years just because they've moved to other provinces, other cities. But we still connect on Facebook and social media. Or if I get a chance to see them when they come home, we always try and get together and have, like, you know, have a beer or have a barbecue or something. So that was mostly high school. And like I said, I found having that outlet at that particular age really, really, really helped. And I understand for some kids, it may be kind of a hard thing to necessarily get into because you may not have a local brick and mortar store where you have that looking for group, so to speak. But there's always things on, like I said, there's Facebook, there's Twitter. You can connect saying, hey, is there anybody playing local? And you can always just kind of ask around because the hobby's more accepted than it like ever has been. Because you look at things like, God, I loathe to say this, but you look at the acceptance of a show like, say, The Big Bang Theory. People now know what the shit is. You look at stuff like Community. They've had multiple episodes of D&D. My friend Adam Goldberg, yeah, that guy from the Goldbergs, just did one on D&D just a couple of weeks ago. So it's in the public consciousness. People know what it is. It is not just Southern Baptist priests going, oh my God, it's the devil. And no one's wandering in the sewers killing people thinking they're hunting monsters. It's not Tom Hanks' Mazes and Monsters. It's not a far-out game. It's more acceptable than it ever has been. But that does bring up an interesting memory. I remember one time, my grandmother, and she's a mean old bitch, said to me, because I was ordering Star Wars books on the phone with my local brick-and-mortar store, Mike's Bookstore. And she goes, you know, Michael, not everything is Star Wars. And I'm thinking, okay, I like going to a galaxy far, far away. You enjoy hockey, read endless books about stuff that's already happened. And I can't enjoy what I enjoy. And I always found that kind of weird. And there's always that weird geek kind of stigma. And I'm guilty of posting this meme multiple times. I'm kind of an asshole in this regard, where there'll be a meme, it'll be a picture of a guy's room all done up in like anime or video games or whatever, and then there'll be a sports themed room, and people are like, what's the difference? And like, people are more accepted. And I've even gone on talk radio in Toronto defending geeky hobbies like this, and she's like, cartoons are for kids, blah 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 blah. I'm like, okay, I can like cartoons, you can like NASCAR, what's the difference? Or you can like historical stuff, why can't I like this? So, I don't know. But anyway, so it's not hard to find these resources now. Way harder than it was when I was a kid because there wasn't organized play groups. That's another thing, too. You go to websites like Paizo.com has organized play. I'm pretty sure Wizards of the Coast does. Actually, I'm almost 99% sure that they do. Chaosium is launching one, I think, this summer. Green Ronin's got one. So there are organized play programs where necessarily, if you don't have the group, if you're willing to put yourself out on that ledge, God, that's a really bad analogy for this, but anyway, you can bring a group to you. And sometimes you'll make some new friends, and that may be what brings you back. That may be enough, so to speak. So, let's flash forward a couple of years. I am out of school. I'm in a serious relationship. Things are not always hunky-dory, which is unfortunate. And me and this girl would eventually break up, and we'd have a catastrophic breakup. And one of the worst things I ever did is I got rid of all my Shadowrun books. and I tried to get her into the hobby with Vampire the Masquerade with limited success, but I got another friend into it, and that was always a sore spot for me, that I had to give up a hobby that I loved to keep the person that I loved. And I don't blame her for it, because the hobby, it can consume your life. It really can if you're not careful. In fact, I've got some cautionary tales about that, where there's a man and a woman who used to be married, and the guy was obsessed with Vampire, and it led to some very messy relationship issues, but that's not my story to tell. So, having the roleplay thing, I remember sitting around my bachelor pad with my friend at the time, Eric, who I really don't know where the hell he went. I actually would really love to reconnect with him at some point. Playing Shadowrun and watching Die Hard at the time. And it was, once again, just having that companionship at just the right time. When things, like I said, were looking pretty bleak. And eventually I'd move. And it would be a long time till I fell back in with a role-playing group, and I'd sort of filled my time with other stuff. And that's even when I walked away from video games for a while. I mean, I didn't have an Xbox, I didn't have a PlayStation, or if I did, I only played like a couple games here and there. It wasn't like what I do now, where that's a majority of my time trying to remain culturally relevant, if you will. But I joined a LARP, and I made some of the best friends I could ever ask for. Now, unfortunately, once again, a lot of them have kind of moved on. But sort of being right place, right time, kind of put a lot of things in perspective. And we would go play Vampire in Owen Sound. We'd go to this place called the Gazebo, which is by the Owen Sound Library. And after every game session, we'd probably start around 8 or 9 at night. We'd finish around 1, 2 in the morning. We'd all walk down to this place called Golden Donuts, and we'd just sit down, have coffee, breakfast usually, and just sit and talk after game. And it was a way to just kind of decompress. Just sort of, sure, for a little while I am a Bruja or a Gangrel, and I'm the Justicar of the city and all this shit. But it was a way to just kind of, okay, here's what's going on in my life. It was, once again, sort of a way to connect with the adult life that I was very much kind of leading into. And this is before I went off to college, probably within the last couple of years. Like, I stopped playing Vampire, I want to say 2005, give or take. I played from 2003 to 2005, something like that. I took a break to kind of jump around Canada for a bit. But I hadn't run my own game for quite some time. So I played a little bit during college, but not very much. I only played a few sessions with my friend, Lorenzo, right? When I got D&D 4th edition, and we'll talk about that at some point on this show, I'm quite sure. Systems that have stigmas. And it just kind of reminded me of a better time of my life, and I really like that. So let's flash forward to now. So, in the last couple years, as you guys know, I've been doing the podcast, Terrible Warriors, and I have had some incredibly low lows with this particular bit of depression, and there was a time where I seriously thinking, you know what, maybe this isn't worth it. And it wasn't until Blair got me Dr. Wily that things kind of turned around, and I was a newlywed at that time. Then finally she got me the help that I needed. With the medication, the mental health professionals. But her and Wily were the right combination at the right time. So, moving on. Doing the podcast with Steve and the other people, like Big Mike, it filled that void that I needed to have that creative outlet. And I find with RPGs and depression, having that creative outlet can be just enough to sort of, like I said, not necessarily escape your problems, because that it seems like that's what you're doing. You're leaving them behind. No, you're simply leaving them at the door. They're still going to be there when you come back, but you come back refreshed, ready to take them on. So whether you're the Valoros from Pathfinder or your Fast Jack from Shadowrun, your problems, your financial problems are still going to be there when you come back, But for a couple hours on a Saturday night, you can be something special. And doing this show, I've kind of realized maybe I'm more creative than what I thought. Because I've often said to Steve Saylor, who's, he's a writer, multiple times, I don't think I'm that creative. I think fast on my feet. And if you've heard some of the adventures I've done for Terrible Warriors, yeah, I plan things out, but obviously they go off the rails rather quickly. I have the skeleton of the adventure thought out, but I can think fast. So I've been able to adapt the storyline. I've never had to say, okay, guys, fuck, we have to restart. Why? Because you're out of control. There's always the finger of God, so to speak. So I'm always ready to adapt to any situation at any given time. But this past winter, depression really hit me bad. And I wanted to do something for the new Star Wars. Because Force Awakens and Star Wars is hot shit right now. So Tiffany, Justin, Tom, and Derek. Derek has just moved out west. Tom, I don't get a chance to see too often. And I don't get a chance to see Tiffany as often as I would like and other people. And just getting together every few weeks to record 4 or 5 hours in the Star Wars universe, it really does a lot for me. And now that I've passed the GM reins over to Derek for a couple of adventures, it's nice to be a player again. Because there's one thing to create the world, to be that creative force, but it's another thing to actually exert your creativity against or with another human being. And that's just, that's the sort of thing. It's that whole social interaction bit there that it can really just, it can help you. And I really think with depression, and in my particular case, it comes from loneliness. Because living up here where I live right now is probably the worst place I've ever lived in my life. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds dramatic. No, I have friends here, but not roleplay friends. I've got my friend Chris, but he's going through his own issues right now. So that's okay. I leave him to do his thing. We'll get together when he has time. So it's hard, but once again, through the magic of Skype and websites and Google Hangouts and... Sorry, something's really, really friggin' bothering me right now. I hate you. There we go. Sorry. Something was on my nail and I just couldn't get it off. Anyway. So, having this outlet with them has been incredibly useful. Because I don't often get to make characters that are a representation of me. And another thing, and that's really helped too. Another person who suffers from depression very, very publicly as well is Spoonie. And I watch his counter monkeys a lot because I fall asleep to them sometimes because hearing a story sometimes makes me feel better. I also listen to stuff from like Geek and Sundry and a couple of other role play podcasts. Like there's one I like called Dawn Forged Cast, stuff like that. And it's something that it just helps me at the right time. It's the right thing for me. So how have RPGs saved my life? Because I'm going to start to wrap this up. It gave me the community that I needed when I needed it. It gave me the right friends at the right time. It also gave me the right creative outlet when I wasn't feeling that necessarily huge sense of self-worth. And it also made me feel not alone. And I guess that's kind of what I want to impart to you that are listening right now who may be suffering from depression. And maybe this is a way for you. Like I said, there are many resources you can reach out to via a lot of publishers' websites with organized play. You can go on Facebook. You can go on Reddit. And just see what's out there. I mean, I've done programs, I think, Fantasy Grounds. I mean, you can do an entire game like that. With like map tiles and shit. You can use a program like Sirenscape to add sounds to it. And considering how many publishers are doing these like bag of holding, these RPG bundles, getting books has never been easier because they're just PDFs. Like you can have your entire RPG library on your tablet now through DriveThruRPG or I think that's the website. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it is. So there's no loss of there's, like I said, if you can spend, like, I think last month you could spend like $30. You got pretty much like every Pathfinder book ever. Like, you were very much up to date with what was released. You had your Mancha Manual, your DM Guide, Armor, Combat, Magic, etc. You had everything you needed. But you just didn't have the physical print copies. And it's, believe me, it's a lot easier to lug around a tablet than it is to lug around your books. The only thing is, you are a slave to battery power. But I guess that's the thing. With depression, do not suffer alone. It will kill you. So reach out to whatever mental health resources are there, but also lean on your friends, lean on your family, and who knows, maybe you'll find a new person to go adventuring with. If you tell them, maybe you want to try it, maybe, who knows, and D&D not necessarily is for everybody, but if it's for you and if it'll help you, it's a great coping mechanism, and it's a lot of fun. You can make a lot of friends doing this, and you'll always have some stupid stories to tell, how the dice completely fucked you over, or how you did something epic, or, you know, just goofy stories. Like, you hear the stupid bullshit that happens on Terrible Warriors, right? I remember sitting around Steve's apartment at like 2 o'clock in the morning eating Chinese food, and the word spoo came out, and I thought I was going to choke on wonton soup. It was so stupid. But yeah, there's a lot of memories to be made, and a lot of these things can help save your life, because life is worth living, but can be worth a little bit more when you get to be a hero. But anyway, so that's going to do it for this edition of Botched Roll. I am getting these out more now. I'm feeling very creative again, so hopefully I'll have one out rather soon. I am planning on doing something with Dungeon Crate. I should have a review of their service. I've gotten 3 boxes from them, or I'm going to be getting my 3rd box from them rather soon. It should give you kind of an idea of what you can expect from their service. Coming up, I'm recording Dragon Ball Z and Sailor Moon for Terrible Warriors. That'll be the game next month. And something special, we're recording D&D Ravenloft, and I'm actually getting support from Wizards of the Coast and Gale Force 9, which produces gaming accessories for D&D, and some of their stuff looks really cool. Like, one of the things they're doing for Curse of Strahd is the Taroka deck, which is like their version of tarot cards, but it allows you to replay the Ravenloft module in an infinite number of ways, so it's never the same adventure twice. So I think that's cool. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, may you never roll a natural one.
Wanna see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PRONOBOZO.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.